CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday morning, CliffCentral.com, and the start of a brand new week. How are we doing? Are you happy? You ready to take it on? You feel that summer sun? I lay in the sun a little bit on Saturday. It was a beautiful day. Don't know if I actually got any color because I'm looking pale and ridiculous. Anyway, so all of that nonsense aside, there's actually quite a lot of news to talk about this morning. We've got to get into some of that in a moment or two. I don't know if anybody knows, but there's a new South African song on the internet that is causing quite a stir. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Give us a taste.
Baba Duduzan.
All right. Honorable, you know what I mean? Duduzan's father.
Right. So Black Twitter's been hard at work as usual. Listen to this.
Why isn't he suspending himself? Take your seat, Honorable. And listen to Baba Duduzan. Baba Duduzan.
Yes.
Baba Duduzan. Baba Duduzan. Baba Duduzan. Baba Duduzan. Baba Duduzan.
As Sia said, sometimes we South Africans don't deserve the internet.
There's an accompanying music video to the song with some very impressive choreography, if I do say so.
Very good.
Matter whether you are irritated by our input or not, you must listen to us. And all we are asking is, we cannot have Duduzani's father. Duduzani's father. Duduzani's father.
Yes.
Duduzani's father. Duduzani's father. Duduzani's father. Duduzani's father. Duduzani's father. Duduzani's father.
Ubaba da Duduzani. Ubaba da Duduzani.
Anyway, you know how it goes. So that's a little bit of fun for you for this morning.
It's actually like I'm catching on to
it
this.
It is catchy, right? It really is very catchy. So there we go.
Does this bump stomach and chest out off the charts
probably.
Now?
That was a long time ago. So I think this is brand new. Very nice. Very nice work. I found that on the Twitter over the weekend. What's in the news, Mubs?
Okay, well, let's begin with... ANC Treasurer General Zweli Mkhize, who yesterday found himself having to deny recent claims that he tried to manipulate President Jacob Zuma's rape accuser, Fezeka Kuzwayo, to drop the charges against him. Apparently, there's a brand new book available on bookshelves at your favorite good store. It's written by journalist Ridi Tlhabi. And apparently, in the book, she reveals how Zweli Mkhize misled Kuzwayo, who was commonly known as Kwezi, to intentionally compromise her case. Zuma was found not guilty of the crime back in 2006. Then Mkhize released a statement yesterday where he narrated how he came to know of sexual relations between the president and Kwezi. He says that after the president told him that he had made a terrible mistake, he reached out to Kwezi and her mother. Hmm. The Treasurer General says that he also organized a legal advisor for the family who he had never met and had given no directive. But according to a City Press article, Mkhize advised Kwezi not to use the NPA's witness protection program as it was going to be discontinued, but rather to enter into the police program.
Yeah, there's so much about that story that makes me so sad. And I'm pleased that Ridi Tlhabi decided to go and write a book about this, because this woman has been known by this name, Kwezi. You remember, for the longest time we didn't know who she was. Mm. And then she died in such tragic and sad circumstances. A woman who was really just abused. And we talk about a country where there's, you know, freedom and democracy and equality and all that stuff. It doesn't exist. And Kwezi's story tells you that. But here's Karen Morn, who was interviewing Ridi Tlhabi about her book on ENCA. Karen Morn's much nicer to her than she is to Batabile Dlamini. But take a listen. All right. Let's see what you think of this.
Ridi, thanks so much for making time for us. I mean, I remember as a young journalist reporting on this case with you. It's now 10 years later, literally. Fezekile is no more. She passed away in October. Why do you think this book was important? Why did you think it was important that his story is finally told now?
You know, I've always been haunted by Fezeka because she represents something that is big. This is not just a young woman who accused Jacob Zuma of rape. This is a young woman who fought a battle for so many other women who walk away against male power, against prominent men who don't keep their hands to themselves. And I think that immediately somebody will say, but Zuma was acquitted of rape. Our lives are not just governed by the law. They are governed by decency, by morality, by ethics. The fact of the matter is, he was her father's friend and comrade.
Hard words from Reedy Tlabi there. So she's written this book, which I think, you know, we should have the courtesy to at least understand her story before the next idiot pedestrian comes off the street and says to you, oh, but the president was not found guilty, as Reedy said.
Yeah, but we know that we live in a country where the overwhelming majority of accused people walk away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, justice was the one telling us that that's just the kind of world that we live in.
Yeah. All right, well, that's a horrible story, but at least there's a book out now. And her story will hopefully have some legs, you know. There'll be something to carry it forward, and it won't just be the sad, lonely tale. It'll be something we can all share in, and we can all actually start to internalize, hopefully make a difference to society.
Mm.
Kwezi, the remarkable story of Fezekile Ntsukela Kuzwayo. That's her full name. All right, what else?
Okay, so I did mention earlier that, you know, conversations down the corridors today at KPMG might be very interesting. I wonder what people are going to be talking about at the water cooler. Man, oh man, have they had a busy weekend. So 9 of their senior executives from KPMG were forced to resign last week on Friday already in a fallout over the company's involvement with the controversial Gupta family.
Yeah.
That 9 includes the firm's chief executive officer, Trevor, and I don't know how to say the surname. Is it Hoole? It's H-O-O-L-E.
I would say Hoole. I don't know how else you'd say that one.
And Chief Operating Officer and Country Risk Manager Stephen Lowe. But KPMG have insisted that they were not involved in any criminal activities. We were only the doers, according to KPMG SA Interim Chief Operating Officer Andrew Cranston, who was speaking to reporters on Friday as that news story broke. The announcement was made as the auditing firm concluded its international investigation into the company's handling of all Gupta-linked accounts. They are one of 4 international firms who launched major investigations into their work with the Guptas. The others, of course, include the consultancy firm McKinsey. You might have seen that name in a headline or two as well recently. Then there's business system company SAP. And then, of course, Bell Pottinger. And we all know what happened to Bell Pottinger.
Yes.
Now, what also happened is that KPMG then subsequently canned their investigation into that SARS rogue unit. You remember when Pravin Gordhan and 2 or more so of his other colleagues, while he was still at SARS, was accused of having established some other rogue spy unit?
Mm-hmm.
Well, KPMG has withdrawn all of its findings, recommendations, and conclusions around that report that they conducted. And they have also issued an apology to the former finance minister. So some backtracking being done here.
Oh, big time. These guys are so slimy. You know, I mean, they were basically, they allowed their very reputable auditing firm to be used to gather evidence against people whom there was no evidence against. They were used as a tool. It's the most embarrassing thing that could happen to a company that relies almost entirely on their credibility. You know, if you're an auditor, you're called in to tell the truth about a company's finances, about its legal status, about whether or not it does business ethically, whether it has what it has and owns what it says it does. If you're not credible as an auditing firm, you can't say those things about other companies. And you know, a lot of people in this country go on about, oh, you know, crime. So we talk about crime and we talk about people who walk around the streets with knives and they occasionally mug you for your cell phone. Those are not the dangerous thieves. The really dangerous thieves are the ones who are stealing millions, billions, and the ones who do it in white-collar crime. You know, it's not the person who's stealing the copper cables that you need to worry about. It's the scrap metal dealer who buys the copper cables from the thief who steals them. Because that's the one who's making the money, and that's the one who issues the order for X amount of copper cabling. Yeah, so this thing on TV last night.
You're right, Gareth. It's the root. It's like those small penis Asian men with a rhino horn.
Yeah.
Same thing.
And it's like those white guys who live in expensive houses in gated communities who are running the hijacking syndicates yep. that are killing some neighbor three doors down's wife because they need a Mercedes C-Class across the border in 24 hours. We've got to stop doing this. We've got to stop looking at each other and going, well, it must be the small-time black thief that stole the power cables. It's the white dude who's running the scrap metal yard you should be worried about. And he's probably friends with your kids. His kids are probably friends with your kids at school. And he's okay because, you know, his kids go to that school.
So then how do we feel about the extent to which the rot actually goes? Because every other week in this country, some other new revelation is being unearthed by the guys at Amabungani. And those guys have done amazing work so far. But what it says is that then we've all been living with our heads buried in the sand mm-hmm. because we clearly do not understand the depth at which corruption is such a problem in all aspects of the country, not just in politics.
Yeah, I want to play you something. I heard such a great speech. It's quite long. I don't know if I can play the whole thing for you, but there's this guy who, I think he's from Kenya. He was part of their, he was the Kenyan equivalent of the Scorpions in South Africa. He was investigating corruption.
Okay.
And he talks about corruption in Africa, and it's just the most incredibly sad and meaningful in a like hold the mirror up to your face kind of way.
Occasion to send a number of messages to my colleagues in Kenya.
Listen to this guy.
A powerful thing is going on in Uganda. And that in the fullness of time, we Kenyans, and I hope East Africans, must embrace what is happening in Uganda.
So let me just give you an idea. His name is Ridwan Husseini Abashi. He's from Kenya. He was the head of the equivalent to the Scorpions in Kenya. And he spoke about corruption and how it's at the heart of all of our problems. So just bear with me on this. You may want to listen to it more than once, but it's really good.
Corruption is something that we talk about. It is something that we complain about. It is something whose negative impact we recognize. It is something that even the corrupt acknowledge is a bad thing. But the irony and the tragedy at once is that those who engage in corruption love it. The tragedy at once is that those of us who do not engage in it directly accommodate it. Our levels of tolerance for corruption in Africa is amazing. A long time ago, a great Greek philosopher said that it is in the nature of man to hang the small thieves and to elect the great ones into public office. We do that in Uganda. We do that in Kenya. We do that in Tanzania. We do that in Africa. And that is why Africa remains the poorest continent on earth. I was this morning rereading a book which I commend to you. Book written by a young Zambian economist called Dambisa Moyo, the book called Dead Aid. And in the introduction in that book, there is a note which was found in the bodies of two young Guineans who died while trying to run away from Africa. Today, many young Africans are running away. Not so long ago, about 4 weeks to be exact, 300 young Africans drowned in the Mediterranean Sea in Lampedusa because they were running away from Africa. Not so long ago, about 3 weeks to be exact, another group of young Africans drowned next to the island of Malta because they were running away from Africa. When you look at Africa today, whether you are looking at Uganda, Kenya, Tanzania, Nigeria, or indeed any country in Africa, our richest men and women are the men and women who occupy public office. We live in a continent where we celebrate thieves and vilify good men and women. That is the tragedy of Africa. While every other continent in the recent past has moved in the right direction, Africa still remains, in the words of Tony Blair, as the scar in the conscience of humanity. We live in a continent today where, as the young man has said, our young women, upon attaining puberty, cannot afford sanitary pads. But our public servants have iPads, which they do not know how to use.
And he carries on. I mean, I think it's very, very powerful stuff that he's saying here. And, you know, I'm always brought to remember Thabo Mbeki saying African solutions to African problems, and here is an African man who's talking about precisely that. And I doubt very much that his words will be kindly accepted by the regimes that run various countries in this continent, because it suits them to have corruption and to allow and to acquiesce to and to have a tolerance for corruption. And this is what he's talking about. So when KPMG, an international company in South Africa, behaves like it has by tolerating, acquiescing to, and being party to Gupta corruption, Zupta corruption, we should expect the law to come down mightily upon them. And all those companies who deal with them ought to go and check this themselves immediately. They need to go and see whether or not this is a company they wish to be associated with. And the overseas parent company should come in here and clean house. People should be fired. Criminal charges should be laid. There should be resignations. That's the short answer, based on what old Ridwan Hosseini Abashi says. That's what should happen. And we've got to start cleaning up now. It's like when you wake up on a Sunday morning after you've had people at your house on the Saturday and your house is a mess. You need to now start cleaning up. Get those black rubbish bags. Throw away the bottles. Get the vacuum cleaner out. Get the feather duster. Get the cloth. Clean up your house, South Africa. Today is the day we start.
But again, people are getting arrested or they're losing their businesses because of working with the Guptas. Therefore, the Guptas are criminals, or whatever they do is evil or against the law.
Well, how these people have not yet had to appear in court is, I don't understand. It's beyond me. I don't get it.
Is every single person on the take in the justice system that this is happening?
Clearly, there's something going on here.
Because there is a common denominator in all these different things. Bell Pottinger dealt with the Guptas. They've lost everything. KPMG dealt with the Guptas. They're in massive trouble right now.
A little bit of accountability would be wonderful, please,
exactly.
If we could have some.
Like, it doesn't take Scrappy and Scooby-Doo to work out. The problem here is the
Scrappy
Guptas.
Scrappy and Scooby-Doo. All right. Thank you, Ben. Over to you, Mubs.
Okay, so it would seem that, I'm sorry, is my laptop doing things again? Oh, here we go. It would seem that Helen Ziller might find herself in a little bit of hot water yet again. This is after the MEC for Public Works in the province in the Western Cape, Donald Grant, revealed a rather interesting expenditure that happened recently. Mm-hmm. Apparently, Western Cape taxpayers have forked out more than 90,000 rand for a water purification system for the benefit of Premier Helen Ziller. Now, as soon as you talk about water in the Western Cape, it's a very touchy subject, right?
Yeah.
The plant was installed last month, and it purifies water from a stream at the premier's official residence. So a couple of people are now kind of, you know, giving side eyes and going, hang on, sorry, so why did taxpayers pay for this again? It was installed amid stringent water curbs and indications that Zilla's family has failed dismally to meet consumption targets, which were set by the city of Cape Town, where she was formerly mayor, are also coming into play.
I've got to say, this is just such a non-starter for me. It's 90,000 rand on a water purification system. They're taking water from a stream. Let's not fall into the trap of equating this irregular 90 grand expenditure on a water purification system with the disgusting, disgraceful corruption we were just talking about. They're not the same.
Nobody said they're the same.
No. But this irritates me that this even makes it into the headlines. Of course, this is a page 7 or 8 story. It drives me crazy that you have to dig this deep to find something bad about Helen Zille. It's like Praveen Gordon. They had to find that he had signed for someone to go on early retirement in order to make it look like Praveen Gordon. Oh, well, we're all bad. Because this is what happens. This is a woman who has done 90 grand's worth of irregular expenditure, as opposed to the cabinet ministers we have in South Africa, who are looting and pilfering and pillaging and doing zero in return. It's not a story. Helen Zille's not a bad person because she spent, or her residents spent 90 grand on water purification. And I'm not going to have this false equivalence brought up. It's just nonsense. There are lots of things about Helen Zille you know I don't like. Lots of things about her that upset me, but this is absolutely ridiculous. 90 grand of water purification. We were talking to a guy the other day who's selling 26,000 rand machines that pull water out of the air. I think everybody should buy one.
So all of this played out at the provincial session in Parliament last week, where ANC Chief Whip Pierre Ace was the one asking the questions about Helen Zille's family's activities. And it was this grant guy who said, yes, okay, we've discovered that she's bought this thing X, Y, and Z, and now a whole assessment and investigation is going to be done, according to these guys. They're going to like conduct a whole thing to get to the bottom of the story.
Unbelievable. All right, well, there we go. Take up all that time in the Western Cape. I can't believe the province of the Western Cape is worried about this when they have major issues to deal with. But there we are. All right. Suppose at least it shows that everybody's paying equal attention to how bad the EFF and the DA are. Have we got an EFF corruption story? Did Julius loan 50 bucks from Floyd there, and then he didn't give Floyd the 50 bucks back? Because of course all of these compare with ANC corruption.
No, EFF, no, they're on a bit of a break of late.
Okay,
no tarnishing.
No corruption there, no.
Well, not
Dalimpofu didn't pay the guy at the door 10 rand less than he usually does to open up for him in the mornings at his chambers, no?
No, not yet, Gareth. But, you know, as is usually the case with a lot of things in this country, just give people time.
Give it a bit of chance.
Oh, yeah.
Give it a bit of time, and then something is bound to come up.
Fair enough.
Because that's just the kind of world that we live in.
All right. And we have a shitty rugby team. Let's not forget that.
Oh, well, according to Ben, all our national teams are shitty at this point.
Well, they are.
Okay. Now, Kevin Hart, the comedian, found himself apologizing on Instagram for what exactly people are still unsure. But earlier this year, there were a whole bunch of rumors about how Kevin Hart has cheated on his wife. Surprise, surprise. Again, stuff happens every day, all day. And this past weekend, he then took to Instagram to upload a video where he was apologizing to his wife and family for having let them down. He's got 2 children with his first wife and is expecting a third baby with the brand new wife. And, you know, a lot of people are saying that what happened, or not a lot of people, but at least according to TMZ, they're saying that what happened is that a woman was demanding money from Kevin Hart to stop her from releasing a video featuring sexually suggestive conduct. Apparently, according to sources, there are 3 clips floating around ready to be released at the drop of the hat. There's one clip showing Kevin getting cozy with this woman in a club before it cuts to a bed, You can't see anybody there, but you can definitely hear some moaning and groaning.
So who was filming this?
Some woman. They haven't revealed her name, but the story here is that this woman was apparently trying to extort money from Kevin to stop her from releasing the footage. So I guess he decided to then get ahead of the story, went onto his Instagram, released a video apologizing to his wife. Just another day in Celebrityville.
What a trashy woman.
Of course she will film this. And of course she'll try to get money out of this.
Just by the way, I got this message here from somebody who say, I don't understand why you're defending Zilla. It doesn't matter how big or small the corruption is. You just played a clip about Africa and how we tolerate corruption. Yeah, here's the point, is that it isn't her decision to put the residents off the water grid. That is Public Works' decision. It's being made into a story about her because it suits the purposes of really corrupt people to make it look like everyone in government is corrupt. This is not a corrupt person. So let's be clear about this. This is a Public Works decision. The Department of Public Works is responsible for this decision. To make it look like Helen went and bought a machine for 90 grand. Hello, could I please have this 90 grand machine so that I can install it in my residence and benefit unduly from it? That's not what happened. Let's not misrepresent this to make it look like she's gone around spending public money on herself. Public Works, look it up. It's a department in cabinet. There's a minister responsible. It should be about that minister, not about Helen Ziller. Good morning, guys. Mubs, I was listening to the podcast where you were talking about cannibalism.
Mm-hmm.
What would go down perfect with human flesh is Mubs's juice.
Oh,
I will only eat it if I could have her juice. Otherwise,
wow.
No buenos. That's from Woody. Isn't that revolting?
Sure, Woody. Okay.
Revolting.
I wasn't expecting us to take it there this early in the week. Can I taste your juice?
My goodness.
But I mean, anything goes down on this show.
Right.
Sure. But can we get back to Kevin Hart for a second? What kind of people are surreptitiously filming this sort of stuff and then using it to extort money out of celebrities? I think this is revolting behavior.
It's people are always going to find opportunities where they can benefit, and that's exactly what they're going to do. Has been happening since day one. But benefit at somebody else's expense, and if you can get away with it, then kudos to you. If you get caught, oh well, then deal with the consequences. But that's human behavior. People are always looking to benefit from the next guy.
And if Kevin Hart is busy sleeping around, well, you know, that's his business. As awful as it is, that does not make it equal to, again, we can't have false equivalence here. The person who's trying to lure him and then record this is worse than him. Because the issue of him cheating on his wife is an issue between him and his wife. The issue of extortion of money is a criminal activity. That's criminal. It is not criminal to cheat on your wife. It may be immoral.
Mm-hmm.
It may be unethical. It may make you a horrible person. All of those things are possible. But it does not make you a criminal. What is criminal is to record this stuff and then try to extort money out of Kevin Hart. That's criminal. Makes you much, much worse. And for this woman to then apologize on Instagram.
No, Kevin apologized. Oh. He thought, let me just get it out there.
Oh, right.
Well, good for everything.
In that case, I think best way to deal with someone who's trying to extort money from you is out them.
But bro, you've been around the block. You know, why would you even, as a mega celebrity like Kevin Hart, be fine with someone recording around you and not even recording you having drinks? You guys were getting all touchy-feely.
And he didn't know she was recording him, or he knew?
He knew. He evidently
had to know. At the time of the recording?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Did he definitely know?
That's stupid.
Well, according to the girl holding the camera, how do you not know?
Well, maybe he didn't. You know, these days people have secret cameras.
But even if you didn't know, what would a risk assessor say? If you are Kevin Hart, like, there are a bunch of people waiting to take you for a puss. So don't put yourself in a situation where you could potentially be caught now having to explain to your pregnant wife, I'm sorry.
But lest
like
we
you
forget.
Know there are people out there ready to get something out of
you. Yeah. Lest we forget, he's done this before. Ooh. And he is now married to the woman he cheated with.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the first place.
I've always said if you start a relationship by cheating, it'll end with cheating.
Mm. Yeah.
If you
know, yeah. Leopards and spots and all that.
Yeah.
That's basically. Right.
All right, here's an interesting point of view. Very interesting Monday morning. JP Morgan, didn't they buy Bitcoin after the fall? It was a socialist experiment, in my opinion, says somebody. I'm feeling sad today. Please tell Anthea I had to sell my 30 NASPAS shares. Do you think they will perform in the next couple of months? Well, Vaughn, she has said, Anthea has said, hold on to those because there's still a big upside to come. Kevin Hart, and I don't want to quote her out of context, but that's more or less what she said. Kevin Hart is another example of people showing off on social media. How perfect his wife and family is, and showing us yet again that social media lives should not be the measuring stick. What the people are recording is not right either. Yeah, you see, this is another thing, is if you are showing your relationship off,
mm-hmm.
you're saying how great it is on social media. It's like showing your business off, or showing your children off, or showing off anything that people can prove isn't as good as you say it is.
Yo.
Social media, it's a trap, I'll tell you what. It's a trap. And those people who think that this is a great way for them to look like they're leading their best lives, to quote Aria Kelman, best lives, you're asking for trouble. Other people are going to find that stuff and they're going to use it against you when things turn.
Yeah.
And they will turn. Nobody's life is perfect. Nobody's. There is not a human being that has ever walked upright that has had a perfect life.
And
you're not going to be the first. So if Kevin Hart was putting up pictures of how great his family is and how great his life is and showing them off to everybody, well, dude, then this is going to happen. If not to you, then to someone close to you soon. Any other news we want to get into?
Well, we can just quickly all thank a 23-year-old little tech guy for, really, I think this is life-changing, this stuff that he's doing. Toronto-based developer Jacob Catalano has basically gone on the path of helping and saving our asses by creating an app that'll hopefully combat hangovers. Folks, I think we should be supporting this dude. So he's created an app called Hydrate Now. Uh-huh. And it's free.
You need this. Yeah.
Hydrate Now.
He's one of these people who moisturizes all day.
No, guys, I'm here for this party already. It's available for free to download at your app store. And basically, you will let this app know when you're about to go out. And so you're going to go out drinking, and it will send you push notifications as reminders to stop drinking for a while and to rather drink water so that by the end of the evening and the next morning, you aren't feeling so horrible. So look at that. You set it up and it can send you like notifications up to like every 20 minutes, a maximum of 5 times. And it's a good reminder so that you actually don't lose your head. I'm with you, Jacob. Thank you so much.
All right. You know what, Jacob? Go ahead and do your thing. I'm okay with this. This sounds great. And if you can make a ton of money off of it, then fantastic. But when was the last time you were thinking logically when you had far too much to drink?
That's why this app will do that.
Even
for
if
you.
Somebody comes to you and says, come, Sia, it's time to go, you become violent. You become aggressive.
Yeah, exactly.
Now the app says, it's time to drink water. You're like, screw you app. Give me another drink. But I like it. It's a good idea.
It's that
I like
annoying
it.
Persistence. But you know what I love as well? If you go into your app store and you search for Hydrate Now, the description of the app is, it's doing God's work to assist users with the classic catch-22 situation, aka forgetting to drink water while indulging in a cocktail or three. So I'm down for this. Hydrate Now.
I have this thing on my watch that tells me to breathe.
Oh, wow.
Really?
That's how stupid I am.
No.
No. What it does is it every 3-4 hours or whatever, it says to you, just take a big deep breath, because you'll find that relaxes you. It gives you a pause. We lead these crazy lives. I'm not saying I need this, but you just go, and you feel so much better after that.
Yeah.
So much better. It's very, very good for you. People mustn't underestimate the importance of breathing properly, and therefore also hydration. I don't think that's dumb at all, Sia.
Speaking of these watches telling you to do stuff,
yeah.
Mine tells me, like, time to stand up.
Yeah, like mine does that as well. Yeah, it's not a bad thing. There's actually an app called Breathe or something like that. That's that I installed. Okay, we got Rich. Let's get Rich.
He's not answering yet. He's not ready. So okay, about 2 minutes.
You tell me when you're ready. All right, I am a bit early for him. We'll get to Rich Mulholland in a second. There's other news. There's other stuff worth talking about this morning. I see Zweli Mkhize's in the news because of what he said about Kwezi. And he feels like he's defending himself, but Mbazi Mashiloa says he's missing the point. There is no need for the media to seek his side of the story. Media is reporting what is in Ridi Tlabi's book. This part of the book is based on what was said and presented in court. At that point, Mkhize had said nothing. So, Rams Mabote is saying, I've heard this kind of rubbish a million times. One time a spokesperson for the former mayor of Johannesburg, herself a former journalist, once complained that I did not seek her side of the story when penning an opinion. You don't need to give both sides of the story.
Why not?
Well, not every time. Sometimes there's only one side. It's that false equivalence thing I brought up.
It's like communism. Why do you want the other side of the story? It's a bad idea.
What an analogy.
Just to get a broader understanding of the full picture.
Yeah, I actually had exactly that discussion with someone not so long ago. They were busy telling me why communism is a great idea in theory. I said, how many more millions of people must die?
Yeah, but that's
for
like
your
saying,
theory to find an application that works.
That's like saying dating your dad is good in theory because you know him, and you know it's just. But it's got like one con and about 75. Sorry,
pros.
It's got one pro and like 75,000 cons. Oh. But there's also two sides to the flat Earth.
Yeah. Yes, of course. There's a flat Earth people.
Well, someone's actually put a sign up on a beach in New Zealand saying it's sea level, not sea curve, and there's a picture of a flat.
See, flat Earth people, they also have a point. We should give them equal airtime.
Let's give them their side of the story. No, there's this video actually. Turner proves Earth is not a spinning ball, and it's got 1.7 million views on YouTube. Obviously, for people who just think it's a load of shit. But flat Earth people, one simple question: do you ever voyage to the end of the Earth and have a little? And do you guys have a
you
look?
Ever fall off?
Do you guys have a look on the end?
No, Ben. I mean, who has time to venture to the end of the earth? You've got stuff to do. You've got to get to work. You've got to get your kids to school. When do these people have time to go and find the end of the edge of the earth?
But out of all their theories, where's the photo at the edge of the earth, you idiots?
What are we trying to prove, though? What are they trying to prove? Is like, why is it so important? Is it to...
I'm tired of the flat earthers. Can we move on?
Really?
All right, let's get to Rich Mulholland. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Top of the morning. I'm really good.
Excellent. I got a message from Rich yesterday. He said that there was a clip on CNN that he really wants to talk about. Should we go straight into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So this is the clip on CNN, and then we'll get Rich's comments afterwards. So it's a sports discussion, I think. There's an ESPN host who was fired over a supremacist remark. And Clay Travis from Fox Sports Radio starts. There's a female host of CNN. There's another guy who comes in, who chimes in, and then there's this guy, Clay Travis. This is him now.
I think that's a bad move. I'm a First Amendment absolutist. I believe in only two things completely, the First Amendment and boobs. And so once they made the decision that they were
not going to allow conservative, non-sports-related commentary,
they couldn't
do
it.
Hold on. I just want to make sure I heard you correctly as a woman anchoring the show. What did you say? You believe in the First Amendment and... B-double-O-B-S?
Boobs. Two things that have only never let me down in this entire country's history. The First Amendment and boobs. So those are the only two things I believe in absolutely in the country. And so I don't think Jemele Hill should be fired. But I do think, straight up, that once you make the decision that you are going to let Kurt Schilling go, that you have to also make the decision that you're going to let Jemele Hill go. I think that's a bad decision. I think ESPN has made bad decisions that have led to 13 million subscribers bailing on the network. They've made bad decisions that have led to ratings collapsing. Jemele Hill's television show is collapsing. Ratings were down 20% last week over last year. I think that's why she's angry. I think that's why she went after Donald Trump. She's begging for ESPN to fire her so she can work somewhere else.
Okay. Okay. Keith, what do you think?
I'm astonished at almost everything I just heard. One of the things that, and Jemele's a personal friend, not just a colleague, but a personal friend. One of the things that Jemele's had to deal with her entire career, and many women who I'm friends with in this business and have been friends with in this business for a long time, is sexism, blatant sexism, comments about her appearance, comments about her racially, comments about her inability or perceived inability to be able to comment on sports because of her gender. For somebody to come on CNN and to say something like, the only thing I believe in a discussion
I'm
about
just,
something.
I'm still there too, and I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. B-O-O-Z-E or B-O-O-B-S? Because as a woman, I'm
as in boobs. I believe completely in the First Amendment and in boobs. Those are the only two things I believe 100% in this country. And by the way, Jamel has absolutely nothing to do with her background
CNN,
at all. Immediately, did you notice that? He went straight to that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I did go straight to that.
Why would you even say that live on national
All right, so there it is.
I think that's a bad move.
Wow. What do you think of that, Rich?
So what I think is quite funny is people's reactions to it. There's people saying this is the single most sexist thing that anyone has ever said. I want to first of all get out here that saying that you like boobs is not sexist. It's a pure observation. I am a straight male. I love boobs. In the morning, I kiss my wife good morning. I give her one on the lips and then one on each boob. You know, just I don't want to leave one out. You know,
it's a
beautiful thing. And it's not a bad thing. It's not sexist observing. Now, he didn't turn around to the anchor and say, you know, I believe in the First Amendment and your great boobs. He didn't make it about her. He made a general statement. But what I think was genius and what I think people are missing is that Jemele Hill went on and said that Trump is the most ignorant, offensive president of my lifetime. He's a direct result of white supremacists. And they went on to say that he is a white supremacist who has surrounded himself with other white supremacists. The White House then got very upset about this and said, what is an ESPN anchor doing weighing in on these kind of things? He complained to ESPN and called for her to be fired. So this guy, Clay, comes on. And now it's important to note that Clay Travis is from Fox. So in American kind of television and broadcasting, Fox is basically your Republican radio or television station, and CNN is your Democrat. And so they have very, very different politics. And on that TV show, they're basically saying that they believe that Jemele Hill should have her, you know, rights to the First Amendment observed. So if she wants to get on there and talk about Trump being a white supremacist, that is entirely her right and privilege. Mm-hmm. So this guy comes on and he says, I believe in the First Amendment and boobs. Mm-hmm. And then they want to shut him down because how dare he have acknowledge his right to the First Amendment, which is free speech.
What he's really
when it
doing,
comes to saying
is,
something.
This is so clever. He's actually trapping them into their own round circular argument. He's forcing them to acknowledge that they aren't free speech people. And while they want to stand up for her free speech, they don't want to stand up for his.
Right, because it offends them.
Yeah.
Because saying somebody is a white supremacist is not offensive. Saying that you like boobs is, which is actually quite ridiculous, because one is a character attack on a human being, and the other is an observation and statement of fact.
So, in other words, these two on the CNN show have just proven that Clay Travis is smarter than them, and that they're easily riled, and they're sensitive, and that they can be thrown off an argument. They can lose their minds about a comment like boobs because it offends them. Immediately they can be derailed, and he wins the argument just by bringing that in.
But he wins on another front as well. So first of all, he says this fairly often. This is like a bit of a catchphrase of his. And he has T-shirts that he sells and that say, I believe in the First Amendment and boobs. And all proceeds go to breast cancer awareness. Mm-hmm. And it's quite funny because he says he does it to intentionally rile left-wing liberals. Because on one side, they don't want to say boobs. But on the other side, they really want to help breast cancer. And he says he finds the irony amusing. And I've got to be honest, so do I. You can't have it both ways. We need to decide. Either we want to be about free speech or we're not. And either we want to say that, I mean, and we can disagree that he said it, but we cannot disagree that he should be allowed to say it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so, in fact, my friend Craig Rodney, who originally posted, that was one of his big points. You know, he doesn't agree with it. He said he fundamentally disagrees with what the guy said, which even I kind of don't quite understand, but I get it. But he says he completely agrees with his right to say it. You know, like you've got to be allowed to say these things, especially in a discussion around free speech.
Yeah, I don't know what this... To me, it's a storm in a teacup. I mean, if someone came onto my show and said that they... And by the way, the First Amendment is the free speech amendment, which means that you're allowed free expression. It almost is unnecessary, but it emphasizes the point to say, I like boobs. These are the two things. Because what he's really doing is testing the First Amendment in front of everybody. Right. Yeah.
I came onto your show... and did say I like boobs, and Mabs is there, and I have great respect for her. And I meant, you know, it's not an attack on a woman.
Yeah.
It's an observation.
But
I thought his choice was actually pretty smart in the way he did it. I don't think it went without thought.
But again, this exposes the stupidity of the left in so many ways. Whenever you bring up women's rights, they're all over it. And yes, clearly women's rights are hugely important, and there's sexism and there's the patriarchy and all this stuff. But then you point out the Middle East to them, and you point out a country like Saudi Arabia, and they don't think that should be priority number one in a world where, or let's say, women who have clitoridectomies in Somalia, that's not a big deal to them. But, you know, the glass ceiling at work is hugely offensive. And there's just no idea of this false equivalence thing seems to be coming up this morning. Maybe it's a thing that we need to pay attention to. But there's an issue. Here's this one woman who talks about Donald Trump is a white supremacist. No offense caused to the left with that comment. Huge offense caused with boobs.
Right. And I think the one little thing that I'd almost want to leave us with this week is my personal challenge to people this week is – no matter what makes you angry, before you hit share, just do the slightest bit of research to find the context. Because when you look back at what this guy said, whether you disagree with how he said it, you can understand that what he's doing is proving a point about free speech and free expression. And with the tiniest bit of research, some of your outrage may have been less placed. However, with if you're not going to do that, I don't think you should be fueling the fire just because people you agree with are. You know, on the other side, I get, Roman and Jonathan, I often will challenge them as well, even though they're slightly more politically aligned with me, in that I'll often challenge them because I feel that they just take everything on the flip side. This is not just liberals. This is anybody on the edges. Yeah, needs to stop and think before they share.
I got upset last night. I was watching Carte Blanche, which I try not to do because it just depresses me on a Sunday. But they do some really good work. And they had a story. I'm probably going to get into trouble for this, but let's talk about it anyway.
Okay.
So they interview this family where the mother and the father are blind. The mother is completely blind. The father has macular degeneration, so he can't see and she can't see. She also has a genetic condition where there's a 50% likelihood that if she has a child, the child will be completely deaf. And then she decides with her husband they're going to have three children. Two of the children are completely deaf. The third child can see and can hear perfectly.
Okay.
But Carte Blanche make this a story about inspiring people who are beating all odds. And I'm thinking, and I know this is not my place because I'm not involved in their decision whether or not to reproduce or not, but it would seem to me like it's a very irresponsible, very cruel thing to do to a child you haven't yet made, to decide to make them in the event that they might have a 50% chance of being totally deaf. It seems to me a cruel thing, an unnecessary thing for someone to do. And yet, the way it's presented on television, it's this inspiring story about this family. If you tell me, and I don't have a child, if you tell me there's a 50% chance that if you do have a child, Gareth, it's going to be born deaf or blind, I'm not going to do it. That's the responsible thing in my mind to do. It's presented on television as this thing that we should all be celebrating. Here's this family where the two parents are blind, the children are both deaf. It's insane.
Gareth, I'm fairly certain, though, if you ask the average blind person if they'd rather their parents shagged or not, I'm still pretty happy that most of them, I'm still pretty sure that most of them would want to be here, though.
No, I get that. But, Rich, it seems to me like if you knew that your kid was going to be born with some kind of major challenge in life, and you still go ahead and do it, And the kid has no, the kid doesn't have a say in this, by the way. You know, you make a child, you don't know. And the difficulties of raising a kid when you're blind, you're a blind couple, mm-hmm. that's already part one. The child is deaf, that's part two. You knew this before you had the kid is part three. Yeah. It just seems to me like it's a cruel thing to do. Am I wrong?
I think.
Am I so insensitive? Am I so insensitive that I see this as a mathematical decision, a responsibility and accountability decision?
Were they wealthy?
No.
Because I was wondering, you know, how you would feel. Who has a bigger challenge in life? A wealthy blind person, or a normal poor person brought up in a squatter camp? Because if we don't want to have children based on the challenges they may face, then, you know, you have to be very careful. Like, at that point, when does it become that, well, then poor people, you know, they're going to have a really challenged life. Mm-hmm. Their parents are, you know, not doing well. Maybe they shouldn't be allowed to have children. And that becomes a very tricky line.
But yeah, it's a gray area, because then what you're venturing into is some people are more allowed to have children than others.
Right.
But then who...
And that's super tricky.
Who is the person that gets to make the decision of who's allowed to versus others? Because that is not something you'll be able to control.
It's not me.
There's also levels to that. I mean, you can have two kids or whatever. Why having seven or eight kids?
I don't know, Ben, but...
See, because like there's levels to this debate too.
You know, this is such an interesting area to go, because people get super sensitive, right? I mean, the one thing you always have a right to do, no matter what happens, is you have a right to breed. You have a right to make kids. And that seems almost human nature. That seems like the reason we're here is to make more of ourselves, right?
Well, that's how people have been conditioned. That's why you have men walking around speaking about spreading their fucking seed all over the place.
Well, in this case, it was the man and the woman, and they decided they were going to have kids, and that's their decision. All I'm saying is that there are a lot of people, poor, rich, blind, deaf, people with genetic conditions that they might give their children. I just think you got to really, like you said, Rich, in a situation where you're going to share something, do a bit of research. In a situation where you're going to make a whole human being, do a bit of research. It's the least you can do, you know? Anyway, all right. Thank you, Rich. I think that clip was very illustrative of the problem in sort of leftist media, and also among people who are easily offended all the time. We'll chat to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Cool. Thanks. I think I derailed his point there with mine. Rich was trying to make a very specific point, and I brought up this thing I saw last night. It just really upset me because these kids needed like 600,000 rand equipment then to be able to hear. And the whole show was really about
600,000 rand.
Yeah, look, don't get me wrong. Jeez. I think it's great that these two little deaf kids can now hear. There's essentially this machine that they attach to them, and that allows them to hear sound for the first time. It's terrific. The parents couldn't afford this. They needed a donation in order to make this happen. But during the story, the piece that it seems everybody else missed and that bothered me so much is that the mother knew, and the father knew before they had the kids, that they could have been born 50%. That's betting on black or red in the casino.
Mm.
And you take that gamble with your kid's life, and then three kids, two of them are deaf? Doesn't seem right to me. Like, I don't think that's right, for what it's worth. And I'm not going to go around and sterilize people, and I'm not saying I'm the one who gets to decide. But as a parent, you should be the one thinking this through really carefully. You want a kid that badly? Adopt a kid. How about that? There are lots of kids out there that don't have love, that don't have parents. If this isn't about you, adopt a kid.
It's about them though, Gareth. It's about their genetic material living through their kids.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to leave it alone too. It's none of my business. Somebody donated this stuff. Good for them too. And I hope those parents and their kids grow up and they're happy. I mean, I hope that they're a happy family. Who wouldn't wish that for them? But it got me thinking last night, and it really bothered me. I was like, you're a really irresponsible person. All right, so listen to this quickly. Have you moved your company's newsletters to Touchbase Pro? Because we have. Since moving, ours are getting better. In terms of open rates and click rates, more people are now reading and subscribing to our newsletter than ever before. Touchbase Pro's customer support is incredible. It's even better. We're now taking less time to do all of this because it's a local company and they're easy to set up. They take us less time to do because of the automation tools to engage with our audience more. It's really, really easy, and you should take a look at this. Touchbasepro.com. You can click on Book a Demo, and you can see for yourself. There's a whole lot of interesting stuff going on there. So that's touchbasepro.com. Go and click on Book a Demo, and tell us what you think. Tell us what you make of it. Sounds good, right, Ben?
It sounds incredible, Gareth.
All right. When we come back in a minute or two, we'll have our guest for the morning. We've got lots of stuff to get stuck into. And then, of course, remember, Auto Central is on, and it's live today. This week on hashtag Auto Central, which is powered by Auto Trader, the team will be looking at the new Auto. That's the driver demerit system. They'll discuss five of the most innovative self-driving and electric car designs that were revealed at the Frankfurt Motor Show. And Matt and Harry from the Pirelli SA Bike of the Year and Car of the Year semifinalists will be joining them in studio. And to wrap things up, as usual, there will be another exciting vehicle review. You can expect this and so much more on Auto Central this morning at 10 a.m. on cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.